It just, theology is good. It's probably really good for new believers because it will set some good foundations, like on the Trinity and things like that, especially the Trinity. And what it made me think is I just want to read my Bible and pray and worship God. I think I had to read a George Mueller book, which was far more rewarding because those were George Mueller's three most important things, was to pray and worship God and seek God. Those are like his three things. And for those of you that read George Mueller, like, they'd be sitting at a table with those orphans without any food and say grace anyways out of faith, and they'd get a knock on the door with a bunch of food. And it's just like, where's my faith? And that reminded me of the passages in Luke chapter 12. And as I was thinking about what to share about, I thought it'd be a good transition after hearing the birth of Christ and my Redeemer and my Savior and my Lord and my God. So now that we have him, what do we do with him? Now that the King has come, how do we purpose ourselves to be about the kingdom's business? Now that the King has come and died on the cross for our sins, now what are we supposed to do with our lives? Do we just go on our merrily way and receive it, believe it, and make church a Sunday social gathering and then go back home and just live our lives? Or are we or should we be doing something else? And Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13, was a big point for me just to move out of San Diego, to go and take Bibles to China. And it got me out of my seat. And I think just from the lifestyle that I came from, it was refreshing to have Christ in my life. Being able to taste and see that the Lord is good was awesome. I mean, I was smoking cigarettes for so long, and when God delivered me from it, I because after you stop smoking, then you can really taste food. So when I stopped smoking, I was like, I can. The food does taste better. The food does. And I just thought, like, wow, this is the best thing in the world. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. And cigarettes was the hardest thing. I mean, methamphetamines was easy for God. But for some reason, like, I don't know why, but I just kept smoking. I was a holy smoker, you know, at Caring Ministries. I'd be down here on the corner, you know, I'd throw away the whole pack saying I'm going to quit and then go and borrow some from a guy. And, you know, you say borrow, I just want to borrow one. Like, you're going to return it when you're done with it. And when I got baptized, after I got baptized, the craving just, like, disappeared. And I just felt like, it's gone. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And then when I ate a burrito, it was like, wow, this is the kingdom of God. Wrapped up in a flour tortilla. I think I've said this before, but right before I come to San Diego, I just, Mexican food just starts incorporating my all my senses. I even though people are speaking Chinese to me, I think I hear them saying, like, taco and burrito. And I'm like, what? I even was walking in the train station, and I smelled flour tortillas. I was like, Lord, I'm not there yet. But it's great. I love Mexican food. And they have Mexican food in Hong Kong, but it's not Mexican food. In fact, I'm not going there anymore. It's like sacrilegious. I mean, one reason why it was the cold went away is because I went and had a bowl of pozole, and it was just like, pff, gone. Like, we said, we prayed for the pozole, and Felix prayed for it. And the first bite, it was like, God's heaven came and delivered me. I was like, wow. Even when I left the taco shop, I was like, hallelujah. pozole. So my kid thinks I'm crazy. So anyways. So Luke chapter 12, verses 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And I notice, oh, sorry, let me get rid of this halls. I notice in this chapter that even before these verses, that I think God is trying to get a point across, that it's not about us, but it's about him. And from 13 all the way to 35, I see Jesus as the counselor, Jesus as the provider, and I think seeing him as both of those, that we can rest in our lives as we seek him and serve him. In verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he brought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This I will do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In verse 20, it says, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And I believe the point here is that, not that the guy was saving, but I think his whole focus was on that, was on his savings. It was his, that savings, and that savings was his salvation. That savings was his life. His focus was on that. And I think the point that God was trying to make by telling this parable was that, where do those earthly treasures go? Where do those possessions end up when you're dead? I mean, this is quite a bold statement for Jesus to say that tonight your soul will be required of you, and then whose will it be? And this is a verse that caught my attention when I was working a full-time job. I was working in a church. I thought I was doing well. And when I read a verse like this, I just felt like, yeah, what am I living for? What are all these possessions that I have? Who am I serving? Because eventually you start serving the material things. I mean, in Hong Kong is a very materialistic society. I mean, it's a perpetual shopping mall. To get from the train, like, I ride a minibus. I live in a village, and I ride a minibus to the train station. But at the train station, there's a shopping mall. And the next stop, there's a bunch of high-rise buildings, and there's a shopping mall. And the next station, there's another shopping mall, another shopping mall, another shopping mall. And all around you is sales and 50% off. And I just warned my wife. I say, hey, don't go over there. It's dangerous. It's a trick. They just want your money. But anyways, it's important that our perspective is on Christ, is what I'm trying to say. Not only to you, but also to myself, because fine, I work in a church, my wife goes on mission trips, but that doesn't make me any more special than you guys. I mean, you're the ones that are on the mission field, you're the ones that are in the marketplace, you're the one that are, you know, you're out there with those people that need Christ. I'm inside the sanctuary, you know. My position is to train you up and to teach you and to lead you and encourage you and say, you know, take the kingdom of God with you. Take Jesus with you. Share it with your neighbors, with your coworkers, be an example. That's what we're here for. So you guys are the ones that are really the servants. You guys are the ones that are on the, you know, the local mission field. I just have a heart for children, and I think it doesn't matter if they're Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, Byronese. See, I'm all mixed. I'm all people in Hong Kong don't understand that Americans are mixed up. They're not all just one nationality. My mom used to tell me I was Chinese and Filipino, and like every month my mom had a different list for me. I think my mom just didn't know because of the diverse background I came from. And I was like, I'm not going to ask her anymore. But like my father has a French-Irish name, and my mom has a Spanish name. So, and my grandfather was part Sioux Indian, so that's what I know. And but I try to explain to people in Hong Kong that actually America is like an international country. Yeah, and here Hong Kong is trying so hard to be an international city, but I look at them and say, you're still Chinese. Yeah, you speak English, but you're still Chinese. Yeah. I say, actually, America is probably one of the most international places in the world. And the focus is that we are to be seeking and serving God and putting God first. And we'll just go ahead and read more. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, now this is a part I really like, because it's like he stopped telling the parable to the two brothers. What time is it? Oh, okay, cool. Sorry, I'm like Pastor Steve right now. I'm just all like scatterbrained from my cold. And I stopped taking NyQuil like 3 days ago, so I'd be like detoxed. So I was like, wow, this is good. Give me some more. No. Anyways, never mind. So I hear my wife right now. What are you talking about? So yeah, this is a great portion. So in verse 22, So Jesus, like, I'm taking it as that he stops and he turns to his disciples, to those that are with him. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And I don't know, some of you probably know this already, like the fowl or the raven or the crow is like a lowly bird, and even if God is taking care of them, and we're made in the image of God, God created us in his image, He has a special place for us. He sent his son to die for us on the cross. Then we're obviously very special to him. And he's going to take care of us. And I think why Jesus wants to tell this to the disciples is because he doesn't want them to get caught up in the things of the world. Because here we have two brothers arguing over some property or something. And they're all caught up in that. And then he turns to his disciples. And we're like the disciples. We weren't with Jesus, but we're followers of Christ. So he's turning to them, to us, and saying, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about the things of the world. It's not saying, you know, don't worry about your, you know, don't go naked or anything. I mean, of course you're going to put clothes on. Let's be responsible Christians. But don't worry about those things. Because God even feeds the fowls. And when I read this verse, I thought, and I had just come back with, I went on a short-term mission trip with Yvonne, and I just felt like this is the verse for me. This is the one that God is speaking to me about going on the mission field and serving and taking Bibles to China. And for me, it's not about a culture or a people group. It was more that, because somebody gave me a Bible, and it just changed me. And so I think people just need a Bible. So whether it's a closed country, semi-closed country, you know, totally closed country, open country, I think people just need a Bible. The Word of God is important. And I think as I've grown older and I realize when I look at the Bible, I mean, God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what culture you're from, what language you speak, your position in the economic whatever thing, you know, poor, you're rich, you're middle class, low class, blue collar, no collar. It doesn't matter. And for us believers in Christ, we should know that. We should understand that. We don't have to race to have the, I mean, I like cars, but we don't need to have the best, we don't need to have the faster car, but I mean, nothing wrong with winning a race now and then, but it's important to know that we don't have to pursue that thing. We don't need to pursue the world's riches. And when I read this, I just felt like, God's going to take care of me. It doesn't matter. I got rid of, I remember when Pastor Lou invited me to live at Caring Ministries, I took all the furniture I had in my apartment and gave it to my my friend that just got out of prison. And he was blown away because he just moved into the place the first day, and I pulled up with my truck, and I looked at all the stuff, and there was all wood. And I said, this is like a big bonfire. And I gave it to him, and we prayed for him, and we left, and that was it. And then I moved to Caring Ministries. It was just like, I just wanted to pursue God and the things of God. And I think it's good for all of us just to be taking big steps, small steps in our relationship with Christ, that we don't remain stagnant. We don't be in a stagnant place. And if you're in a stagnant place, then seek to get out of it. If that means you get involved with church, then do it. If that means you go street witnessing, then do it. If that means you start witnessing to your neighbors, then do it. If that means you start studying the Bible a little bit more, then do it. I don't really like studying. I dropped out of San Diego High School in the 11th grade, and I went a couple more years to do my thing. And when I met Jesus, I went to the community college, and I got my GED. And that was amazing because I never did my homework. I never did my studies at home. I failed most of my life through high school, through junior high school, through Brooklyn Elementary. I think the teachers just liked me in Brooklyn, and they just kept, it's okay, Byron. They just kept pushing me along, you know. The teachers loved me, and my family was known in the school system there. So junior high school, Roosevelt, was the same way. They just kept, you know, pushing me along. I go to a couple summer school classes, and they passed me on. And finally, I was the big kid at San Diego High School. I looked around, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like an adult right now, and all these kids coming in are younger than me. So I left. And it's amazing for me to be able to do those two programs with the university and just to push myself and study. And because I don't like reading, I definitely don't like writing. I mean, my writing is like, oh, it's gotten a little bit better. But where to put periods and commas and semicolons, and there's these two words, R and R, like O-U-R and A-R-E. I totally get those confused all the time. So, but the teachers are just, the teachers train me, you know, they teach me, they lead me, they guide me, they help me along. So, yeah, those are things that I've done in my life just to push myself, get myself out of any kind of stagnant areas. And I think definitely when you get married and you become a father, that really just, like, really blew me out of the water. I mean, I'm there holding Phoebe when she's a baby. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what did I do? We're supposed to wait a year. So here, take it back. So, but seeing Phoebe in school, seeing my daughter in school, helped, like, it encouraged me to, I can do it. And this way, when she says, I don't want to do my homework, I can say, Daddy did his homework. You know, Daddy's doing his papers. But then she says, well, yours is in English. Mine's is in Chinese. So all her homework is in Chinese, which is true. It's a lot harder. I don't know any Chinese characters. So where were we? Verse 25? Verse 25. And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? So that means adding more to your life. So so by worrying about these things, what can you add to your life? What is worrying going to add to you? Even if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Sorry. And this is a best, it's a question. Oh, ye of little faith. So it's like Christ is just getting in the disciples' face. He's getting in my face. And he's getting in your face. And he's saying, where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where are you putting your dollar? Where are you putting your treasure? And I like, when I look at these scriptures, I like to call it, it's a prosperity doctrine with a biblical twist. Because a lot of people want to hear about the New Year's here, bless me, healthy me, good me, well, this is lose weight me. But this one is causing us to think that we are to put our prosperity thought into a different light, that we're to be putting our resources and our energy into something different. And the rest of the verses say, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations in the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I think this is the most impactful part of the passage, that God is telling us, forget about pursuing the things of the world and seek his kingdom and his kingdom alone. Because when our hearts and our minds are caught up in God's, in the things of God, then he's going to be taking care of us. We don't have to worry about the things of the world. We won't be stressed out. We won't be worried, but we'll just be able to seek his, and not just for ourselves, but for others, that others will come to know him. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about you and your lights burning. I think if you just read this verse really loudly and enthusiastically, it's a good message. And I don't need to say anything behind it, because it simply just tells us to put God's kingdom first, put Jesus first, put God first, and don't worry about the things of the world. And we can just shut our Bibles now and just say, God, we want to seek your kingdom this year. We want God's glorious kingdom. Like in the chapters before this, it's the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says, you know, he's teaching the disciples how to pray. And it says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think by us pursuing God, pursuing his kingdom, that people are going to see and experience his kingdom through us. Experience the love of Christ through us. Experience God through us. It's time to, even for me, like I mentioned, fine, I work, you know, I'm a Christian worker. That doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people that are Christian workers that their walk with God is almost zero. You know, it's just a job for them. You know, even I need to check myself constantly, you know, because church is not my salvation. Christ is my salvation. And because I work in a church doesn't mean I'm right with God. Okay? Because everybody can smell it if you're not. You know, they can see it. I can see it. I can feel it, you know? So it's about me, not to be selfish, but it's about me pursuing God's kingdom. And I'd just like to encourage you this morning that you would take a step and go over these scriptures and hide them in your heart and say, God, where can I be seeking your kingdom first? Where can I be, you know, getting out of those stagnant areas in my life? So why don't we stand?